And welcome back to Coast, David Weatherly with us. We're talking about the black eye children and also the situation in Peru, where 80 children are being treated after an outbreak of demonic possession hit them. Incredible. And we'll take your calls on Coast to Coast AM. Okay, welcome back to Coast, David Weatherly with us. A couple of his books, The Black Eye Children, Strange Intruders as well. How did you get started into all of this, David, for yourself?
You know, George, I started when I was really young. I became intrigued by ghost stories and just strange things like that. And, you know, by the time I hit my teenage years, it was sort of, almost all-consuming. I discovered Fate magazine, you know, thanks to a neighbor. And, you know, that really was kind of eye-opening, because all of a sudden I realized, wow, there are people all over the place that are doing this, you know, pursuing these things, and never stopped from there. I actively started investigating when I was a teenager, and continued to do it for all those years.
Well, you've done a great job. And what are you working on now these days?
Actually, there's a new book coming out. It should be out in the next couple of weeks. It's called Wood Knox, and it is technically it's a journal of Sasquatch research, and it includes contributions from a real A-list of cryptozoologists. Of course, I have a long piece in there on Sasquatch on the Navajo Reservation in the Southwest. But we've got contributions from Lyle Blackburn, Ken Gerhard, Richard Freeman over in England, Micah Hanks, Linda Godfrey.
You've got them all, the heavy hitters.
Yeah, I do. I'm really happy with this thing. And a beautiful cover by artist Sam Sharon, the guy who did the Strange Intruders cover. So, again, that should be out around the beginning of June, and all the information will be on my website, and, of course, it'll be on Amazon.
Are you a believer that demons are real, the real deal?
I believe that there is something that we identify as a demonic presence, yes.
You can feel that.
Yeah.
Have you ever...
I've seen some very dark and disturbing things, and of course, you know, people always ask, you know, don't you get afraid going into any of these places? Because, you know, I go into a lot of notoriously haunted locations, and, you know, I have a couple of partners I research with now a lot, the Dave Sphinx and Mike Ricksecker, and we go into some of the nastiest haunted locations you can imagine. But you know what I find frightening, George, are the things that human beings do to other human beings, you know, when they're living.
Oh, yeah.
And those are the things that I tend to be a lot more cautious about.
Let's go to the phones. They're lining up for you. We'll go to Tim in Long Beach, California to get things started. Hey, Tim, go ahead.
Hello, George. Yes, I'm calling you because back in 2007, I lived in Los Angeles and had a paranormal group. We did a investigation in Hollywood Forever Memorial Cemetery there in Los Angeles.
Sure, and know it well.
Yes, and Jackson, one of the members of our group, was talking to us about an experience he had with a black-eyed person. Frankly, I'd really not heard of them before. And he described this person to the T. And when we left the mausoleum where Valentino is interned, we saw this very same guy. And I've got to tell you, it was the spookiest thing. He just stared at us, and he started approaching the car. And as he did, I could see the black eyes. And I was driving. I had a sense of doom, like I got to get the heck out of there. And it was a very frightening experience. I still had no explanation, but he was even wearing the same clothes that this person in our group described. And it was something I've never wanted to experience again. When you were talking earlier about a sense of doom, that was definitely the feeling we felt. But I wanted to share that with you and love to hear your thoughts on it.
What do you think of that, David?
Thanks for calling in, Tim. That's a really interesting story. Of course, a lot of activity reported in that particular cemetery. I've been there myself, and I wasn't aware that there was a black-eyed person attached to encounters there. But, you know, that sense of doom, that is very, very common in these accounts. I hear again and again people say things, you know, like they were terrified. People will say they felt like they were being, you know, eyed by a predator. And of course, the most unnerving aspect is when these creatures, beings, whatever they are, begin to, you know, stare with those black orbs. And they do seem to create a high level of fear in the people who experience them.
All right, next up we go to John in Ontario in Canada. Hey, John, thanks for calling. Go ahead.
Can you hear me good?
Yep.
Okay, it's Bartholomew.
That's right.
One quick thing I mentioned to Tommy, a lot of times when I phoned in, as the phones ring, I hear other stuff going on in the background. I hear the clicking of women's heels, men, this and that, and then all of a sudden when you come back on the air.
Where do you hear this from?
It comes over the phone.
Not our phone.
All of a sudden you hear a guy say, shut up, shut up. And then last night, all of a sudden my portable phone, you know, you can walk around with, it just wouldn't ring anymore. It kept saying, you got the wrong number, please hang up, try again. So I tried on the stable phone.
Call your phone company, but go ahead, John. What's your question with David?
Okay, this was, I don't know why all this weird stuff happens to me, but anyway, it's 11:45 at night. And my wife and I were sitting on the couch watching TV. I got security lights all around the house and other buildings and that. None of them went on. But somebody knocked at the door. So I thought, what the hell's going on? Did you turn the lights off? No. So I went over, I flicked it and whatever. And it ended up to come back on the lights. But this guy's standing there, and this is winter, and it's really cold out. And he's dressed like a guy's in the Swiss Alps. He's got, the, you know, the lederhosen and stockings pulled up and with the bib part and the shirt. But he says, I said, who are you? What are you doing, you know, on 11:45? Like, and he had a book in his hand. He says, I tell stories to children.
And he's at your place?
Yeah. My front door.
Did you let him in?
No. But I thought, what do you mean you tell stories to kids? Like, that in itself, that's okay. But it's 11:45 at night. Anybody who has little kids, they're going to be sleeping. So he says, do you know of any other people that have kids on I'm on a country road. And do you know any other house that has kids? And I says, look, but I noticed that if you walk, you know, you have your footstep and then you step down and you're outside.
Yeah.
And the same, you know, front and the side door. Well, he's slowly trying to get his foot up on the up step, and I notice his hand, he's up reaching higher for the door.
He wanted in, didn't he?
Pardon?
He wanted in.
Yeah. He's trying, and I says, look, I don't know what you're doing or what you're up to or, you know, what kind of dingbat you are, but get your hand off my door, get your foot away from the footstep, and...
Did he leave?
Well, what was funny, finally, I says, look, either leave, I had a butcher knife in my back of my pants.
A butcher knife?
Yeah, because I always keep one by the couch because I've told you about the door rattling and so much all the time. And that one time...
So did you pull out the butcher knife?
I said, yeah. I said, look, if you don't back off right now, I'm going to cut you up in a lot of little pieces.
Oh, my God, John. You're insane.
Well, I wouldn't have done anything to him, but it sure put a...
Did he leave?
Yeah, but what was funny... All the security lights went on as soon as I closed the door.
Well, they're supposed to, aren't they?
Yeah. So I quick run outside. I had a 22, or I go outside. I couldn't find him anywhere.
You went out with a 22. You had a butcher knife. You were armed to the gills.
I know it sounds like I'm a maniac, but...
What color were his eyes? All black?
Well, the thing is, he had the hat, you know, has the brim that sticks out in front and the feather on the side. His was wider. Now, I didn't get... real good on, you know, he wouldn't look me in the eye, but I kept trying to get at it, but all I could see was that they were very, very dark.
Well, what do you think, David? Could this have been one of the dark-eyed adults?
I think that John sounds like somebody not to mess around with.
Yeah, you don't want to go to John's house, that's for sure.
It could be. You know, what's interesting about that case, George, is it brings something else up, and that's the fact that, you know, these black-eyed kid encounters, they never use doorbells. It's always a knock.
It's a knock, isn't it?
And it's usually a long, monotonous knock. You know, if you just imagine someone rapping on your door nonstop, you know, with no break until you
like
answer
this,
the door.
Huh?
And in fact, there have been, you know, some circumstances where people have gotten very aggravated and flung the door open and sort of pointed and so, you know, why didn't you use the, you know, blankety blank doorbell? And these kids look at the, you know, the little lighted button like, what is that? Like they have no concept of what a doorbell is.
Has anybody ever touched their skin?
Yeah, they have. There have been a couple of cases where someone has reached out. There was a woman who reached out and touched one of these children, and she reported that she said it was like touching a dead body, that the child
kind of
was
cold,
very, very cold, and, you know, a little bit of stiffness to
the little rigor mortis setting.
She was very ill afterwards after touching this child.
Let's go next. Jesus, that's unbelievable. Tom in the Bronx. Hey, Tom, you're up with us.
Yes.
Go ahead.
Hi, George.
Hi, Tom.
And your guest. I like to say the kids in Peru and the school, could it be they're experiencing holograms in the hallway? Maybe there's some sadistic government agency conducting insidious experiments, because it's been done here in different places. In other words, other types of things, but it always adds up to paranoia.
It could be. Could be, David, huh?
Well, that's a possibility, and I appreciate your call, Tom. The one thing that would, you know, cause me to immediately hesitate about something like that is that these children are also reporting physical contact with this entity. So it does appear that there is something that is taking a physical form within this school that is harassing at least some of these children.
Keith is in Illinois, first-time caller. Good morning, Keith. Go ahead, sir.
I've been listening to this, and sounds to me, I've been listening to a prophet, or a supposed prophet. His name is Mark Taylor.
Okay.
He seems to think until this election goes off that all hell's just going to break loose. Once the election's over, everything will calm down.
I hope he's right.
I hope he is, too. I mean, he's predicted, you know, that this thing has just turned into such a mess out here with all this craziness.
So maybe the black-eyed kids will disappear after the election, David? I think not.
I think not. There are certainly periods in history where we see fewer reports of such things. But, you know, there's so much going on just in the world in general right now, George, in terms of strange phenomena that, you know, a lot of people are you know, connecting this to biblical prophecy, that's for sure.
We have Dennis in Philadelphia now on Coast to Coast. Hi, Dennis, go ahead.
Good morning, George, and to your guest.
Good morning.
I'd like to find out if your guest knows about this case. There was a case of the black-eyed kids over in Vermont, where, of course, you know, they knocked at the door, and it was 2 o'clock in the morning. The husband came down, opened the door. These kids never at first look at you in the eye. Their heads are always down. The boy had like a bowl haircut. The girl had like a straight black hair, and they were dressed like in period type of clothing. And they let the kids in, of course, and they were sitting there on the couch, and the husband began to get ill. Well, to make a long story short, the kids asked if they can use the bathroom. While they were in the bathroom, the husband's nose began to bleed, and he began to feel woozy. Well, when they came out of the bathroom, now this is what makes this case a little bit more special than the others he was talking about. They stood there in the hallway staring at him, and they spoke in this like a sing-songsy type voice. And they stood there. That's when, before that, they finally looked up, and the wife went to make hot chocolate for the kids. That's when she noticed the black eyes. But like I said, they went into the bathroom, they came out, they stood there in the hallway, and they said to the husband and wife, "Our parents are here." They walked through the door, and out waiting for them was a black car with a gentleman in a black suit waiting for them. They got into the car and left. Did you ever hear of this situation?
I'm not familiar with that particular account, There are some cases, you know, this obviously fits a lot of the same model as these, you know, the typical black-eyed kid encounters. And it's interesting that you talk about an adult driving up in a black car and so forth, because then we sort of get into Men in Black territory. And yeah. Some of the more recent accounts that have been surfacing in the last couple of years, you know, talk about the supposed adults connected to these children showing up. And there, I have heard of a couple of other cases where they show up in, you know, an old-fashioned black sedan or something to pick these children up. But, you know, fascinating case. Thanks for sharing that.
You were saying earlier that they kind of appear and disappear. I mean, do people see them walk away, or what happens? What do witnesses say?
For the most part, George, what happens is the witness goes into such a state of fear that they will slam the door, they'll drive away. And we get things like the Brian Bethel account, where he pulls out of the lot and looks back and they're gone. There are accounts where people will slam the door, you know, look immediately out the window, you know, or the glass pane beside the door to see what the kids are doing, and they're gone. And, you know, that some of these cases are very dramatic. There's accounts of police officers, you know, simply turning their backs on these children, and when they turn to look back, these kids have vanished.
Like in a puff of smoke, poof, off they go.
Just very suddenly, just gone.
Dave in Corona, California, welcome to the program. Hi, David, go ahead.
Hey, thank you for taking my call.
Sure, Dave.
Mr. Waverly, I have had my own experience with a black entity, is what I call it, that visited me while I was sleeping. It sounds like what you're describing, what's going on in Peru. And this thing stood over me while I was sleeping, and it woke me up by feeling me out. It was touching my testicles, and that's what woke me up. I felt it.
Well, I'm not going to go there. Wayne in Chicago, Illinois, you're up with us. Well, we're not going to have time. My gosh, the clock is ticking. We'll do this when we come back after the break. But, David, I guess you get all kinds, don't you?
Oh, yeah, definitely.
You get all kinds.
I'm sure you do, too, George.
Oh, yeah, I sure do. Tell us about the books. Where do you get them?
The books are available currently at leprechaunpress.com. And there will be ebook editions of both Black Eyed Children and Strange Intruders coming later this year. A lot of people have asked for those, and they're finally going to make it to Kindle format. So
good for you.
Keep your eye on Amazon. They'll be showing up.
Okay, we're going to come back just a moment on Coast to Coast AM. We'll take final phone calls here with David Weatherly as we talk about the Black Eyed Kids. And if you want to chime in on that situation in Peru, 80 children treated in the hospital after they called an outbreak of demonic possession. On our next Coast to Coast program, Dan Rather joins us, former CBS anchor person, of course. And then we'll have our Friday night into Saturday morning, almost full moon, open lines. Welcome back. David Weatherly with us, and your final phone calls as well. David, for everything you've investigated in the paranormal field, what has been that fascinating moment for you?
Oh, gosh, there are a lot of them, George. There was an incredible experience just a couple of years ago on Pavelja, which is a notoriously haunted island off the coast of Italy.
Uh-huh.
And there's a massive structure on there. It's been abandoned for a long time, but there's rumors of, you know, tens of thousands of deaths on this island, from plague victims to mental patients and a whole wide range of things. And I was upstairs on the second floor of this building, and from the adjoining room heard the sound of a metal bed being dragged across the floor. It's exactly what the sound was. Now, when I went to the doorway, there was indeed a metal bed frame in there, but it was against the wall, and there was no floor in the rest of that room.
Nothing?
Nothing.
That's
nothing. So, you know, that's just one of the moments. But, you know, at any given moment, I would probably give you a different one because, you know, having done this so long,
they're all amazing, aren't they?
Experience that they are indeed all amazing.
Back to the phones. Wayne in Chicago, welcome to the show. Hi, Wayne.
Hi. Thank you, George, and thank you for your guest.
Thank you.
Yes. At first, I was going to start off talking about the veil between the dimensions. And, you know, for instance, like the Judeo-Christian writings talk about the angels of the Euphrates River being loosed. And I was thinking that those kids might be from the other side. But the previous caller made me remember about when that car was waiting for those kids when they left that man in his wife's house. So what I'm thinking is the governments of the world, they want power and control more than anything else, and they will do absolutely anything to get it. And what I found out in my research is that the angels of light are not going to help these governments because their intentions are evil. So the governments of the world, like, for instance, deep into the United States government, they will revert to the dark side for power. So what I'm thinking is these kids may be a result of the deep cover side of the United States government, for instance, going, trying to tap into the demons and their power, you know, to control people. Like, for instance, those kids could be used in warfare against an enemy in another country. You understand what I'm saying?
Sure.
What do you think about that theory?
Well, listen, thanks for calling, Wayne. That's, yeah, that's some interesting stuff. I mean, we really go down the rabbit hole when we start talking about some of these theories, but, you know, they are, of course, possible, because you can go around the world and find evidence of factions of different governments, you know, dabbling in dark arts. You know, there's a lot of people that have written about, you know, factions of the United States government dabbling into to dark things and, you know, trying to make contact with demons and so forth. Some of the Islamic nations, you know, there are officials who purportedly attempt to summon the jinn to do their bidding. So, you know, it might sound far-fetched to some people, but when you really start delving into it, there's some pretty fascinating things there. And again, you know, you go back to biblical prophecy, and a lot of people that, you know, take a very Christian viewpoint of current events can argue, you know, a lot of what we're seeing play out, you know, very well may be some of those biblical signs.
Do you think there's some people holed up somewhere that are just conjuring up these kinds of entities?
I actually do. You know, I've heard so many stories and accounts from various people talking about, you know, whether you call them, you know, Satanists or practitioners of some type of dark arts and so forth. There are so many stories out there of, you know, there being groups working on doing exactly that, that you can't really... You know, where there's smoke, there's usually fire, so to speak.
They seem to live for this, don't they?
Right.
Next up, let's go to Dan in Michigan. Hey, Dan, go ahead. Welcome to the program.
Hey, thank you for having me. Hey, I can't wait to read your book, David, your books, I should say. I kind of have a two-parter. The Peru incident, there was some pretty dark stuff happening down there.
Yep.
Back with the Cathars back in the day. And as you know, the Cathars, they would kiss the backsides of cats, and they were into some dark stuff. Anyways, that ground that the school is on, maybe that stuff happened there, and they were conjuring spirits, like you said. Are there people out there conjuring demons and stuff like that? Of course there are, and like the jinn you said, and Arabia, of course, so people do that all the time. Aleister Crowley, he set out a legion of demons against another practitioner of magic, and later on it backfired on him, and he also seen the man in black that haunted him in the corner of his room, and he cried and would complain, he's after me, he's coming to get me. So I believe in that 100%. That's just my opinion, what might be going on in Peru. And real quick, can I tell you about an incident with these black-eyed children?
Sure, please.
Okay, well, this happened to me probably when I was about 14 years old. I was in a mall, and I was going up an escalator, and on the other side of the escalator going down, there was a young girl, and she just stared at me, and she looked so not real, like not human, almost robotic. And almost, do you remember the movie Small Wonder as a TV show?
Yes.
Okay, well, she reminded me of her, and she had black eyes. And I told my mom, and I cried to my mom. I said, and she followed me. This girl, she followed me throughout the mall. And I told my mom, she's following me. She's following me. God. And my mom thought I was crazy. And she's, I'm bawling about it, you know. But I really don't think that they're here to hurt us. They might be here to inform us and to help us. My aunt also, she practiced white magic. And everything that I heard tonight on the show is so precise and so exact with these black-eyed children. And they're not always children. She was in a cemetery visiting my grandmother, and two white figures showed up, and they had very young faces, like baby faces, smooth. No blemishes, like another caller said. No blemishes at all. And they were dressed really nice in black clothes, and they had a really monotone voice, like that caller said. And one of them said, "I know why you're crying." And my aunt said, "My mom, she's died. She's died." And the person said, "It's okay.
Jeez.
You'll see her again."
That's creepy all by itself.
All by itself, exactly. And she told her that it was okay, that she would see her again, and not to worry. And my aunt said that she didn't get to say goodbye to my grandmother. And they said, "It's okay, you'll see her again." And just as she was sitting there crying, she said something came over that just made her stop crying. And when she turned around to look for them, as the caller said previously, they just disappeared.
They're gone. That's an interesting take. And in some cases, then, people feel better, David, when they're around.
Yeah, that's pretty rare, though, George. And, hey, thanks a lot for the call, man. I hope you enjoy the books. And, I'm glad you got some useful information out of tonight. It's interesting that the caller, George, is talking about this account, and it sort of put the pieces together for him hearing this information tonight. And what I have found is, throughout the past years, people find out about this phenomena because it's pretty easy to find on the internet and so forth.
Sure. Now.
But there's so many people who say, "Oh my God, this is what I saw, 5 years, 10 years, 15 years ago." All of a sudden, they're able to put a description or a name to, what they experienced, attach something to it. I'm finding so many of these people, they didn't know exactly what they saw. Was it a ghost? Was it a hallucination? Was it something alien? And they didn't know how to, what to connect
yeah.
it to. So a lot of times they really didn't talk about it much.
Was there a false sense of security when you deal with them? Were they kind of trick you?
I think that at times that does show up in the cases. It's as if they're trying to set people at ease. Like the Brian Bethel case, they're making a statement, "We're just kids." And I've heard that statement more than once, but nobody's ever convinced.
Chucky was a kid too.
Right.
Let's go to Douglas in Silverdale, Washington, Wildcard Line. Hey, Douglas, go ahead.
Oh, hi. Good to talk again, George.
You too.
Nice to meet your acquaintance, Mr. Weatherly.
Hey, Douglas.
I have a theory which some kind of people have kind of touched on tonight, but just run it by you, see what you think. I think that this possibly could be a continuation of MK Ultra operations by CIA, psychological warfare, Manchurian candidate types of deals. And Mr. Weatherly, you said just words you said. Memorized words, strategy, recruitment. And the last one, which I thought was very pertinent, was what humans do to other humans. So CIA humans and the children humans. So and black sclera contact lenses are easily can be purchased on the internet. So, I'm sure you said this has been happening since the 50s or 60s.
And I guess you could still see out of them, right?
Oh, of course, yes, yes.
That's it. Like,
and I think maybe the terrorist victims, again, perhaps, and all these things I'm saying I've learned on the show, George, and I've done my own research on them. So the terrified victims are maybe, again, mind control, microwaves, the HARP system, and again, the sicknesses that they have. Who knows what kind of biological warfare the military has.
Well, let's see, David. I guess you cannot rule out government trying to do something like this, huh?
Well, you can't. And, you know, when you look at some of the things the caller's talking about in terms of the, you know, the monotone, this sort of stiff, you know, approach that these kids take to people and the memorized phrases, at least they appear to be memorized. And, you know, it's interesting, too, because when you look at the cases as a whole, so to speak, when you look at a large group of these things, you almost get the sense, George, that some kind of experiment is going on because, you know, having looked at cases going, you know, back to the 50s and even before at this
point, good point,
there's sort of an evolution in how these play out. And, we've been in a cycle for a while now where we're seeing almost a very standard encounter where these kids will show up, you know, it'll be at someone's door or hotel room or car, and it pretty much plays out like most of the other encounters do. But, you know, that's fairly recent. That fell into, you know, a set of years. And now the more and more of these reports that come out, the more variations we're starting to see. So it's as if they're constantly, you know, learning and perhaps changing their tactics to see what the response is like.
Let's go to Joe in Anchorage, Alaska, west of the Rockies. Joe, you're up.
Yes.
Hi there.
How you doing, George? Hi, Dave. How you
Hi,
doing?
Joe.
Great show as usual. The Peruvian case. I just want to hear your take if it could be nothing more but mass or nothing more than just mass hysteria.
We talked a little bit about that, but I'll have you elaborate further, David, on that. Mass hysteria, of course, being where, you know, one becomes two becomes four, and they just, you know, all have this happening. I don't think that's happening in Peru, David.
I don't think it is either, George. You know, there are many cases of mass hysteria throughout history, and there are a lot of commonalities we find.
That's like running with the bulls. That's mass hysteria, right?
Mass insanity, maybe.
Yeah.
You know, we find situations in these classic cases of mass hysteria where people are confined within a space together. Something generates, you know, fear or paranoia, and it sort of spreads, and you know, some people just can't mentally handle that. But there are some very unique aspects to this case in Peru that I don't think can be ignored. And, you know, one of them being the fact that we have children in different classrooms suddenly having the same symptoms at the same time. You know, that almost implies that this is something, you know, pre-planned or
yes,
something that's occurring at the same time. But nor do I think there's any kind of conspiracy with these young kids, you know, to do this, you know, to time something that exact. And then we've got the other factors that appear to be more paranormal in nature, you know, the bizarre symptoms that they're having that the doctors just can't explain, and, you know, all these accounts about this being a dumping ground for victims of a criminal organization. There are a lot of factors going on here, and, you know, certainly the most disturbing is this man in black wandering the halls that is, you know, attacking these children.
Threatening to kill them.
Right.
We've got Mark in Lebanon, Virginia. Squeeze you in here, Mark, real fast. Go ahead.
Yes, sir. I was just going to tell a little bit about the situation. My girlfriend had this little dispute with her sister once, and they couldn't get it resolved, so they went to talk to their mother about it. Well, her sister became very, whatever the situation was, her sister became very vehemently angry, and she started yelling and everything, and suddenly she looked and saw her eyes had gone completely black. There was no white sewing whatsoever. And her mom wasn't turned the direction where she could see it, and she shook her mom's shoulder. She said, look at her eyes. And she said, get out of here now with your baby. She didn't want her to be anywhere near her. But it was when she was at the height of her anger is when she saw that.
the great stories.
Sometimes it's a case of demon possession in some cases. I don't think it's always the case, but I think that's sometimes the case.
The entire situation is strange, David. You gotta say that, huh?
Oh, it really is. And, you know, thanks for calling in, Mark. I tend to agree with him in the terms of there. I don't think there's one specific explanation for all of these cases. I really don't. I have heard some accounts where people have witnessed someone's eyes suddenly turn solid black. In fact, there are a few of those recounted in Strange Intruders. And that may be something different that's going on. It's certainly an odd coincidence when we look at black-eyed child encounters.
And remember, David, there are no coincidences.
Well, that's exactly right. There are only synchronicities.
David, thanks for being on the program. I love it when you're on. For Dan Galante, Tom Danheiser, Lisa Lyon, Lex Lonehood, Sean Latasseur, Stephanie Smith, Chris Borrelson, George Knapp, I'm George Norrie, somewhere out there on Coast to Coast AM. We'll see you on our next edition. Until then, be safe, everyone.